T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now and talk to CBS NFL analyst and former NFL general manager Scott Pioli. Good morning, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Joe, Zach, thanks for having me on. Great to be on with you guys. Appreciate it.
We appreciate it very much. By the way, before we get going, Scott, I got to ask you about last night. A lot of quarterback misses in the first round by NFL teams been going on forever, right? I mean, we've seen it.
Yeah.
So I did a Mel Kiper Jr. Like Joe Burrow, he's going to be that's going to be a hit, right? That's not going to be a miss. That guy sure looks, I hate to say sure shot because you never know, but what would you say from just watching him throw it?
You never know is exactly right, because stranger things have happened with some really good college players. But he certainly looks like the real deal, because it's not only his throws. I mean, it's the way he competes, the way he, you know, he has this inner thing that you look for in a lot of quarterbacks, his ability to lead authentically and genuinely. You can read and see and feel the players react to it. His energy is real. I've watched him since the beginning of the season and saw him particularly, I think it was the third game of the year against Texas. And I remember telling my wife and saying, okay, this guy's pretty special. And he sustained it the entire season. But he has the tools. He has the background. He's got everything. And now, we've said this before about players, and it hasn't worked, but I don't think that's going to be the case this time. I think he's going to be the real deal.
Yeah, Scott, as being a guy that has been in the room, or at least been in the conversation room about who you're going to draft, who you're going to take, let's say you needed a quarterback, you had the fifth pick in this year's draft, and maybe there's
let's just say that, Scott,
yeah,
if you were
just hypothetically, you know, let's just throw like the Dolphins team out there. Let's say they had the fifth pick overall. You were in the room with a certain head coach, Brian Flores, making a decision, and the doctor says, yeah, this guy Tua from Alabama, I think he's going to be okay. And think is the big word in that conversation, because no one really knows. Do you take a shot on Tua with the fifth pick overall if you're the Miami Dolphins?
Here's what I say. It's what's January 12th, 13th, somewhere around there.
Right, 14th, yes.
East West practice. So I've lost track of the days. Here's what I say. It's way too early, it's way too early to make a prediction or to say that this is who we're going to pick. This is why the draft is in April. In the case of Tua, here's what I think on the side of whatever team that picks him. There's still 4 months to determine, to spend time with doctors, to see what his progress is in his rehab. You know, years ago, this injury would look like a career ender, right?
Right.
But we don't know that. When we watch players come back now from injuries, different injuries, significant knee surgeries, how quickly they come back, science is so different and medicine is so different from what it was back when this happened to Bo Jackson. And then, Joe, you playing, you know, every injury is different. Even the same injury is different, and every body is different, how they recover, what rehab is like, what setbacks are or aren't. So to say that Tua is the guy that they should take, I think it's way too early. I really do. But, you know, Beflo, Brian Flores sure knows, and Chris Greer, they've been doing this long enough, and they both learned, you know, Chris learned from his dad, who was a tremendous personnel man in the league, and Beflo learned from some pretty good people. They will be patient and figure out what's the best thing when it comes time, April.
All right, I want to ask you about that guy, Brian Flores. I don't know how the hell he did it, but he won 5 games with that group, and that it was built the culture. We've seen a different kind of coach for sure. You know Brian Flores pretty well. You surprised that what he was able to do in year one?
I'd say yes and no. Surprised that they got the number of wins that they did, because it's so hard to win one game in this league, let alone 5. The roster was challenging this year. Because it wasn't just the roster. As he had this roster, he was trying to implement a culture. and a culture that is all about winning, and everything he does is about winning. And, you know, I've known Brian since he graduated college, Boston College in 2004. Knowing him like I do, I'm not surprised. But again, if I'm a Miami Dolphins fan, I would be extremely encouraged, because there's a lot of people and a lot of voices and a lot of, you know, narratives out there telling him to tell his team that it was over. Don't fight.
Right.
And what he did this year and how he did it, he established a culture and a mentality with his football team that is going to have longevity. And the easy thing to do this year was say, okay, we're going to start focusing on the future. Let's start thinking about next year. Let's just get this in place. Let's get this in place. Let's worry about all these things that don't matter about winning, because I've seen programs do that. Everything this guy did was about winning. And again, his passion and his truth is remarkable. And I'll tell you this, again, the easy thing to do would have been to listen to some of the whispers and say, gosh, let's worry about next year. But one of the building blocks he knows about, because he comes from the same program and the same family that I'm a part of, is in order to establish any kind of real credibility for longevity for your football program, is you must win and win now.
Can we talk about that family for a sec? You led me right in perfectly. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady. Yeah. Can they get it worked out for one more year at least? I think they can. What do you think, Scott?
You know, I don't know. And again, I hope they can. And that's not you have to remember, Bill and I worked together for 17 years. I was there when there was a small group of us that decided we were going to draft Tommy. And he is a dear friend, and Bill's a dear friend. For the good of the game, and I would love to see them continue together, right? Because I'm a bit of a sap when it comes to football and football history. I would love to see them to continue together for as long as they desire. But I also know they've been playing with house money, you know, to be together this long.
Yep.
Whatever they decide is the best for them, that's what I truly hope they do. As a selfish football, you know, when you're not working in the league, which this past year I didn't, you become a bit of a fan. You go back to what drew you to the game. For the good of the game, I would love to see them stay together.
I always wonder, because he's so good. Some would call him the greatest quarterback of all time now, one of the greatest players to ever play. He's so big up there and been such a big part of their success. Then it get harder for owner and Bill Belichick and Mr. Kraft to say, probably should let him go, but how do we let this popular dude go and what he's meant to this organization? Let's try to milk out another year in him. Is it more of that? That's got to be a tough one.
Well, I also know this, you know, it is tough. It's emotionally tough. And again, being together with Bill, we made some really hard decisions in those first 9 years together. There were players that came in, gave a lot to the game, gave a lot to us, and it was time to move on. This one seems a little bit different, and I've watched Bill handle it a little bit different. I've watched the Crafts handle it a little differently. Again, for all of the things that people view on the outside of Bill Belichick, I was close enough to know that he is an empathetic man. He also knows that he has an obligation and a job. He tries to balance those things the best that he can. You know, I was with him in Cleveland when we cut Bernie Kosar. I saw how that affected him. Again, he had to do what he had to do was best for the team. He was right in the decision he made. Deep down inside, in quiet corners, did it bother him that he was having to end the, you know, at that point in time, potentially end the career of a lifetime football guy? That's what people don't understand about Bill. Bill's respect for football and football people, whether they're players or coaches on other teams. You know, a perfect example was when Bill Cowher competed against Belichick as hard as anybody, and they couldn't stand each other on Sundays, you know, when they competed against one another. One of the first people that Bill Cowher mentioned the other day on CBS, when he was talking and voted into the, or told he was in the Hall of Fame, he mentioned Bill Belichick. And those are the things that people don't see about him that are behind the scenes, is that he loves and cares about football people. Now, he has to make some hard decisions, and that's a really delicate balance. This is a brutal game. This is a brutal business, and decisions have to be made. That doesn't mean when you make a decision that is tough in someone else's life that you don't care about them.
Scott, does it bother Bill Belichick that he's lost so many coaches. I mean, because one guy leaves, one coordinator takes a job, takes three of his other guys with him. I mean, this guy, he's got coaches everywhere. We got him in, down with the Giants now. We got him down here. We got him in, let me see, Houston. They're everywhere, man.
Yeah, and I think at the moment it happens, it's certainly frustrating because, you know, I was with Bill when we started losing coaches back in, you know, the early 2000s and mid-2000s. And it's frustrating to him in one sense because he has to build it or rebuild it or sustain it. But I think that there's any coach who loses someone that has worked with them for such a long time has a degree of pride in watching their people grow and move on. It's like, you know, it's like a proud parent. And in a weird way, that's what it's like. So I think he actually also takes some pride. Does it make his job tougher? Yes, it does. And I don't think he really cares. You know, you look at how he's still related to all those people. I mean, he's got former players. He's got Mike Vrabel now, you know, who played for eight seasons. So I think, does it frustrate him? But maybe it does. He would have to answer for that. But I've seen him react, and I think that there's a great deal of pride that any good football person would have. I mean, I know he's proud of Brian. You know, Brian started with me in scouting in 2004, and then he got tired of me, I think, and had to transition over into coaching one with Bill. And I know that Bill's proud of him, and he should be. I mean, you know, I know we talked a little bit about Brian before, but I can't say this enough, how fortunate Miami Dolphin fans are to have not only a coach like Brian Flores, but a man like Brian Flores and his family down in that city.
Scott, tougher life moment for you, sitting down Bill and Bill for that documentary, or looking back at that Cleveland 95 documentary and seeing what blew up and what could have been. I watch both those. I tell Joe all the time, I love the football lives and the 30 for 30s and all that. But watching the Cleveland 95 one, every time I have a chance, it's so tough to see what you guys had there and what could have been. But actually being the in-between between Bill and Bill to get them to sit down, that had to be pretty tough also.
Yeah, I don't know which documentary to talk about first, but the Bill and Bill one was unique because it was unique because obviously one man is my mentor and a guy that I worked with for 17 years and is still a dear personal friend, you know, and the other guy happens to be my father-in-law.
Right,
and by the way, there was a point in time they, you know, I don't want to say they hated each other, but they sure disliked one another tough on one another. And again, when you have one guy, you're working with one guy, he's one of your dearest friends and mentors. And again, the other guy's your father-in-law. That's a tough line to walk along. But, you know, I'm just truly thankful. Again, I'm a bit of a sap. And when that was resolved, it actually happened in the kitchen of our vacation home on Nantucket when Parcells was up visiting. And it was cool to be a part of watching people, human beings that I knew deep down inside, loved one another, reconcile, right? There were people that it never made sense to me that there were these two men who really genuinely cared about one another, respected one another. But, you know, here's the only way I can say it. Competition and this game, and because it's mostly all dudes, we don't act normally.
Yeah.
And we behave and do things in the spirit or justification of competition that is really wrong.
Yeah.
And we lose our way sometimes and we hurt people unintentionally because we know we've got to beat them to survive. And I think that's maybe part of what happened along the way there. And we unintentionally hurt people's feelings, but it was beautiful to see them get together and resolve whatever differences, and they're friends now. And you can't, I mean, think about it. They won Super Bowls together. They were good buddies. They coached together. They spent more time with one another than they did their spouses and their families. And then they weren't speaking. It broke my heart.
Right. Well, listen, man, you got pretty serious on us about that. That's fine.
That was good.
And by the way, they both had Lawrence Taylor, so it couldn't have been that bad when they were together. And the second thing is, if ever in doubt with who you work with and or a family member, always go Weiss family. You know the rule, Scott, over Belichick. You always go with the wife and the family because you got to live with it every day, my man. You know how this thing works. Come on.
He gave me, at the end of the day, Bill Parcells gave me his blessing to go up to New England with Belichick, even though he was furious with him. And that also told me something.
Right, right.
Because I was under contract with the Jets, and he could have kept me there if he wanted.
Right. Wow.
But he knew that there was a better opportunity, and he knew how close Belichick and I were.
Scott,
so in 2000, when that all went down, you know.
This has been great. No, I was just going to say, you keep this up, Scott. We're going to have you on like once a week, man. That was some good stuff right there. That was, thank you.
We haven't even gotten into Brian Flores stories yet now.
Oh, no. That's coming up next. We would love to. And by the way, we do. I got to tell you, I've been around him this first year. And man, I've watched him. He is. He acts like he's been around doing this for a while. He's really good. And it couldn't have been easy, Scott. He just let his two coordinators go, who he's known for a long time, that are both New England guys. Those decisions can't be easy to make.
They're not. But that's a moment that Miami Dolphins fans, and I hope the media, realize. And to me, the significance in that is he loves those two guys. But he has made decisions that he believes are in the best interest of the Miami Dolphins and the team winning.
Wow.
And that's no small thing. And I think having had I've been in those chairs before, right, of having to make some really tough decisions. And you make tough decisions. And the fans, and I hope the media understand how important this is to him for the Miami Dolphins family.
Yeah. Scott, thank you very much for coming on. We got to get back on the sideline and get caught up again. Thank you, buddy.
Appreciate you. Take care, man.
All right. That was Scott Pioli, CBS Sports NFL analyst, 27-year NFL exec. And, get some good stuff right there.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.